Today I want to begin, I'm going to give you some good news and some bad news. You can decide which is which. We're going to begin in Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Or as one young man used to say, Habakkuk. Remember that? Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a prophet who lived this Old Testament, of course, and he was a prophet who lived in the time in which Israel had really walked away from the things of God and had brought upon themselves God's disfavor. And Habakkuk had a real burden on his heart. And that burden was what he saw around him. He saw himself and others who loved God, who knew God, who faithfully served God, and who were doing the best they could to walk in the Word of God and in the law of God and in the will of God. And then he saw others around him who called themselves the people of God, but who lived in a completely contrary way. And he was troubled by what he was seeing there. And he was asking the Lord, how can you permit this to go on? We read just a few verses here from chapter 1, verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass or surround about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. And the inequity of this has really gotten a hold of him, and he is frustrated by what he's seeing. God, why do you allow this? Why do you permit this? Why won't you move in and straighten this out? You've got the power to do it. You've got the ability to do it. Your word is clear about what it is that you want. Why do you allow all of this strife, all this contention? Why do you allow this violence? Why do you allow this wickedness? Why won't you go ahead and separate the righteous from the wicked? Why won't you take those that love you and really want to do right and take them and put them in their own little thing? And mankind has attempted to do that in a lot of ways. That's what communes are all about. Christians in many places around the world have wanted to withdraw. Monasteries were all about this. We don't want to live in the midst of our world. We don't want to live in the middle of wickedness and in the middle of unrighteousness. We're tired of that. We don't want to raise our children in the middle of that. And so we want to escape and we want to go off over here. We want to let the wicked destroy themselves and let, if the world wants to go to hell in a handbasket, let it go. But we're not going with them. We're going over here to the degree that we would sell our homes and pack up and go out here and buy a parcel of land, and everybody who feels the same way will grow up in that locale and in that place, and we wanted to deal with all of this stuff. Unfortunately, what people don't realize when they do that is they're going to rear up children that oftentimes are the ones that are stirring up the strife and the contention because they don't embrace the faith of their parents. There is no way to truly escape the world that we live in. Jesus said in John the 17th chapter, Father, I pray, when he prayed his great intercessory prayer on the night he was betrayed, he said, Father, I do not pray that you would take them out of this world, but that you would keep them from the evil that is in the world. And so we do live in a world that is fallen. We live in a world that is corrupted. We live in a world that is polluted. And let's face it, most of the people who live here don't give a rip about God. They don't give a rip about anybody else. They don't give a rip about doing those things that are right. It's pure selfishness that rules most lives. Unfortunately, as in the case of Habakkuk, so it is today. Much of that exists within the church itself. And so we have those, as Habakkuk said, there are those that call themselves righteous, but they act in a wicked way. And their heart is set on strife. Their heart is set on contention. Their heart is set on grievance and spoiling and violence. And Paul said in the third chapter of Philippians, he said they purport to serve the Lord, but Christ is not their Lord, it's their belly. It's their own flesh. It's their own desires. It's what makes me feel good. It's what I think is right that I will fight for and struggle for and crawl over people in order to accomplish. And perhaps you have wondered the same thing. Why does God allow that? Why does He permit that in His own church? Why does He allow these things to go on when He has the right to stop them? When He has the ability to stop them? Why does He allow the church to be so fragmented? Why does He allow the body of Christ to be so convoluted and in one moment it seems to be so bright and shining and the next minute it seems to be so dark and depressing? And as I think about that, I think about what Jesus said in the 13th chapter of Matthew, and that's where I'd like to take us today. Matthew chapter 13. If you're following along in your Bibles, turn there with me to the 24th verse. In this passage, Jesus is speaking a number of parables that illustrate the nature and the character of the kingdom which He is establishing. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. A parable is a story that illustrates, an earthly story that illustrates a spiritual principle. It's fictitious, but the inference is a powerful truth. Another parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? Where'd the tares come from? You didn't plant them. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Let's pull them out. But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. A very familiar story, the wheat and the tares. The farmer goes out to his prepared field that he has strenuously prepared for his seed. He sows good seed in the field. But while his workers are sleeping, the enemy, one of his enemies, somebody want to make trouble, comes and sows weeds among the wheat. Nobody knows the weeds are there until they come up and until they come to a head and begin to produce fruit. Because wheat and tares look alike in the blade. It is only when the fruit comes, it's when the head comes, that you begin to see the difference. It's very like your yard. You plant your yard, if you keep it cut, green all the time. You don't care if it's got weeds or grass in it. But if you let it grow and let it come to seed, you find out you've got not nearly as much grass as you thought. And you've got much Johnson grass and crab grass and all the rest of that in it, but you don't know it's there because it's green. It looks just like grass until you let it come to a head, until you let it fruit. That's the way wheat and tares is. And so as it began to come to a head, the workers come to the master and they say, you've got tares out there, and the owner tells them how the enemy sowed it, so on and so forth. They say, well, would you have us go out and pull the weeds out? And he said, no, because if you do that, you're going to pull the good up with the bad. Why? Because the tares have had time to develop good root systems. They've been there long enough that they have dug down deep and they have good root systems, and when you pull them up, it's not like pulling up a little seedling. When you pull it up, you pull up everything around it, and you do more destruction than anything else. This is just leave them there. Is I can tell the difference between wheat and tares, and when we do the harvest, the first thing we will do is when we cut it, then we'll take the weeds and we'll separate them and we'll burn them, and then we will have our harvest. That's the story. So verse 36, if you'll jump over there a few verses. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Explain this to us. What are you trying to say here? He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. We've talked many times about the two families that live in this world. One family is the family of God. The other family is the family of the devil. 1 John chapter 3 tells us there are two families, not just one. We are not all children of God. We are not all brothers. We all are human brothers in that sense, but spiritually, we do not enjoy the brotherhood of man. Unredeemed men, are such wonderful brothers that left to their own devices, they'll kill each other by the millions. And we've seen that in our history. The children of God are those, according to John chapter 1, who have believed on the Lord Jesus and have become sons of God by faith in him. And until that happens, we're children of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, in that passage that illustrates this, makes the comparison between Cain and Abel. And here are two young men, brothers, who came again from the same seed. We were talking earlier about how two children from the same family can be so very different. Here are two brothers from the same father, from the same mother, by natural generation. One is a lover of God and a faithful worshiper. The other is a hateful murderer. One a child of God, the other a child of the devil. And so Jesus says that the field is the world at large, this earth. The sower of the good seed is the Son of Man. Inferring here, obviously, that in order to become a good seed, you must be planted by Jesus. If you're not planted by him, you're not a good seed. It's that simple. There's only one way to become a good seed, to become a child of the kingdom, and that is to be planted by the Son of Man. The others, the tares, are those who are planted by the devil. Verse 39 tells us the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels of God. And here we see something about what will happen at the end of the day and how God would use his angels to reap in the great harvest. As they're gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, his harvesters, his reapers, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. Now, there's a good place for somebody to say hallelujah. Because there is coming a time in which the thing that we long for, and that is for righteousness to reign, and holiness to rule, and wickedness to ultimately be put down. That day is coming. That's the good news. The bad news is we must bear with the tares until the harvest. Now, that is not pleasant, because what do tares do? First of all, they confuse anybody that's looking on. Because they look like wheat, They act like wheat. They talk like wheat. And you do not know that they're tares until fruiting time comes, till you get close to the harvest. And then the wheat produces what? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, temperance, long-suffering, humility, meekness, fidelity. That's what grows on wheat. But what do tares produce when they begin to bear fruit? Anger, strife, jealousy, party spirit, all of those sorts of things. Read Galatians, the 5th chapter, and you will see what the fruit of the Spirit is, and you will see what the fruit of the flesh is. You will see what the fruit of wheat is, and you will see what the fruit of tares is. And you have to come to the harvest before you see what that fruit is. Now, what tares do until fruiting time is tares steal from the life of the soil. They steal the energy and the strength. You know, if you have a garden, you know that you don't want weeds in your garden. Why don't you want weeds? Because weeds stunt the growth of your good seed. Weeds compete for the moisture and the nutrition and the earth and the nourishment that is in the soil. And weeds, in essence, because of their very presence, discourage the full growth of the wheat. It is the presence of the weeds. It's as if, I know it doesn't happen exactly like this, but it's as if the wheat looks at the weeds and say, oh, what's the use? And it's a discouragement to the wheat reaching its full potential. So it would seem. But yet Jesus said, that the king who rules in this kingdom knows that it is better for the wheat to struggle against the tares for its life than it is to risk killing the wheat by pulling up the tare. And so he says, I am willing to allow the children of the devil to dwell with the children of God, even if there is some confusion there, even if there is some strife, even if there is some violence, even if there is some grieving, even if there is some stealing, even if there is, if these kinds of problems exist, he says, rather than risk the loss of one grain of fruit from my wheat, even if my people must suffer, I am willing to have them do that rather than willing to lose them altogether, because the day will come where there is no confusion, where the fruit is clearly seen, when I will send my angels, my ministers, into the world, and the very first thing they will do is they will cut down the weeds and they will gather them up. And they will take them off to be burnt. Reading verse 42. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That also is bad news. I told you I had good news today and bad news. I have bad news for the tares. I have good news for the wheat. For the tares, the news can never get good as long as they remain tares. Now, this is where the analogy breaks down, because in the natural realm, a tare could never be a wheat. But fortunately, in the spiritual realm, by the miracle working power of the Holy Spirit of God, a human tare can become a human wheat. For such were all of us, weren't we? We used to be weeds planted in the garden of God, fruiting anger and strife and violence, until the Spirit of God touched our hearts and touched our lives and converted us from that to wheat. And so now we spring forth in love and joy and peace and gentleness and tenderness, don't we? So the bad news for the tares is that the harvesting angels will not make any mistakes. And you may be able to, if you're a tare, you may be able to fool the wheat. And you may be able to fool the workers in the field. You may be able to fool the preacher. But you can't fool the angels. For when they come, they know a tare from a wheat. And Jesus said clearly that at the harvest, at the day of final judgment, that the tares will be cut down, they will be gathered together, and they will be thrown into the fire. Revelation, the next to the last chapter of the book of Revelation, explains what that fire is. It's called the lake of fire. And Jesus describes that place as a place where there will be weeping, wailing, and gnashing or grinding of teeth because of the misery. Now the good news follows in verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. One of the things I really, you know, growing up on the farm, I really have an appreciation for the stories that Jesus told. And they have, for me, a tremendous impact. When I drive out in the country, I mean, I'm looking at what's growing and how it's growing. And so, I mean, you can't get very far away from your roots. They say you can take the farm out of the boy, but you can't. You can take the boy out off the farm, but you can't take the farm out of the boy. And that is so true. And one of the things that I notice, driving out in the country, and particularly this is before the days of chemicals and so on, is that there would be a field of wheat or oats or some grain, a grain that grows like, not corn, but a grain that grows like that. And you'd have this whole field of it, but you couldn't see the grain because the weeds that were in it, there were so many weeds that the weeds grew taller than the grain. And all you can see is it looks like a field of weeds. And that's the image I get when I read this verse. Jesus said, then, that is after the weeds have really been dealt with, then will the righteous shine like the sun. The weeds will no longer obscure. You know, there's a world out there that doesn't want to have anything to do with the church. Why doesn't the world not want to have anything to do with the church? Many of them don't want to have anything to do with the church because their deeds are evil and they enjoy it. But that's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about those that are looking at the church, hoping against hope that the church would be what they think it ought to be. And it isn't. And it disappoints them and frustrates them, and they don't want to have anything to do with it. Or they've come to the church, and when you talk to them about church, oh, I tried church, but it didn't work for me, or the hypocrites in the church, and you know, we've heard all of those arguments. Listen, if you've been in the church as long as I have, which is all my life, if I thought the organization of the church was the way to heaven, I'd have given up on it too, long time ago. The church is an imperfect expression of the kingdom of heaven. And one of the reasons that it is because Jesus allows some things to go on in his church for his own purposes that I got to tell you, if it were my wisdom that were ruling the church, I wouldn't permit it. If I found a tear, I would pull it out just that quick. That's just me. And you can thank God that Jesus runs the church and not Pastor Vic. The good news is there's a day coming when there will be a separation between those that do not produce the genuine fruit and those who do. That day is the day that only He knows. Until that day, until that day. The thing that the Lord is impressing upon me is do not allow the yings and yangs, as someone says, of everyday living, the ebbs and flows of everyday living, the blessings and the curses that are part of our life in dealing with other people within the family of faith, to discourage us or to depress us or to cause us to lose our light. We will never shine as bright as we will in the day when Jesus takes and lifts us to the place of, we talked today, or we sang today about, into His marvelous light. But while we're growing in the field of this world, regardless of how many tares may be growing around us, in the church, in the home, in the family, in the job place, in the school, wherever it may be, God's purpose is served. Father, the most important thing that could happen to anybody after hearing this parable would be that he or she would realize that he hasn't become wheat, or she hasn't become wheat and hasn't been planted by the Son of God. All of us, Lord, can see the frustration of Habakkuk. We can understand his frustration because of our own at times when dealing with situations in the church and with others that we believe are Christians. Sometimes it's just Christians acting out in the flesh. But sometimes it's children of the devil masquerading without their even knowing it, planted by the enemy. Lord, we want to thank you today that no person, no human being may ever hear this news and not have the opportunity to avoid the fire. No person, no human being will ever be denied the opportunity to come to the Son of Man and be planted as a good seed. Today, there may be someone in our service who's in that situation and wants to be sure that they are planted in this world by the Son of God and will be good seed that will grow up to produce good fruit and will in that final day of harvest shine forth as described in this parable. We praise you, Lord, that you have made it so easy and so simple that even a small child can understand it. It's not a complicated matter. It is simply a matter of recognizing ourselves as in need, acknowledging ourselves as children of the devil, born to him. Not a matter of our will necessarily, but a matter of circumstance. In sin did my mother conceive me, the psalmist said. I came into this world in that condition, recognizing that, to simply ask you, Jesus, to come into our hearts, to change us from the inside out, to give us that miracle of regeneration, that miracle of new birth, that the child of the devil which I was will die, and the child of God which I will become will be born. And you've made it so easy that all we have to do is simply pray. Simply say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I have not given my heart to you. But I want to do that now. I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, and change me. Change me from a tare to a wheat, and make me a child of your kingdom. Perhaps that will happen for someone here this morning to whom this parable has come alive. I pray that that's the case. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.